So John Tracy Fox from Taylorsville, North Carolina, welcome back to the show. How's the job search going?
The job search still about the same. There's not a whole lot of work around here.
13 months looking for construction work, and the construction business is still pretty much of a mess in your area, right?
Yes, it is.
So, John, what if you just moved your family to where the jobs actually are?
Well, that's always an idea of something you could do if it was affordable, but the housing industry upside down, it's kind of hard to move.
You'd have to sell your home, right?
Yes.
And it would actually cost you to move, right?
Yes.
So add it up for me, if you could. How much would it cost you to just pack everything up in your old kit bag and get out of town?
A lot more than what my net worth's worth.
You're laughing there, but it's too expensive to move. Well, smile, John. Smile, okay?
Yes,
smile.
Keep smiling. It's the Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI.
We're moving this morning. Good morning. It's Thursday, April 23rd. Too expensive to move is an economic store we're going to be looking at. I'm John Hockenberry. Adora Udoji is away, but Catherine Lamper is joining me today. Good morning, Catherine.
Hey, John.
Long time.
I know. Nice to be back with you. In this hour of the show, we also talk transit with correspondent Andrea Bernstein, ask if GM is steering closer to bankruptcy, and look at how the wind blows in a new energy policy. Those stories coming up, but first, these headlines.
GM is getting close to the brink. It's planning to close most of its plants for 9 weeks this summer, stopping production on all but its most popular models. Economist Peter Morici says the automaker is reaching the point of crisis.
With car sales down below 10 million a year, they've lost a lot of market share, and they simply have too many cars to sell, as does Chrysler.
Workers could find out the specifics today. President Obama meets with leaders from the credit card industry to talk about fees and interest charges. Critics call the rules abusive, and both houses of Congress are mulling over legislation that would limit all kinds of credit card practices. Catherine?
Pakistan is deploying 6 paramilitary platoons to the northwest city of Bunir. There are reports that Taliban militants took control of the city, which is near the northwestern Swat province, which they already control. This move comes after Secretary of State Hillary Clinton criticized the government yesterday.
I think that the Pakistani government is basically abdicating to the Taliban and to the extremists.
Pakistani officials say they are not appeasing the Taliban and that Secretary Clinton's comments hurts their position. The morning after pill, soon to be available over-the-counter to 17-year-olds, the FDA overturned a Bush administration policy yesterday that comes after a federal district court judge had ordered the FDA to change.
Ballots being counted in South Africa. Turnout was so high, some polling stations ran out of ballots. Markets mixed yesterday after a batch of earnings reports. The Dow opens today at 78.87. The S&P begins trading at 8.44. So President Obama says he's taking on the credit card companies today, but you have to do it every single day. Listen.
I was talking to Bank of America yesterday because of a letter we received. We have over a 700 credit score, never paid a bill partially, always in full, and they decided to half our credit availability.
What have credit card companies done to you? Look on your bill. Call us with your story at 877-8MYTAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at KnightFoundation.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
With 31 and a half years seniority, I feel that I really have no more sense of security than when I started over 30 years ago. I mean, it's pretty scary.
That's GM worker Terry Harden. We spoke with him a few weeks ago. The bad news for him is that the latest chapter from General Motors could show the carmaker edging closer to bankruptcy. That's with the latest news that the company does not plan to pay the $1 billion it owes bondholders by June. In addition, there are rumors that the GM is going to shut down most of its factories in the U.S. for up to 9 weeks, starting as early as next month. And then there's the news from Chrysler, now saying if it doesn't get more money, it will go into de facto liquidation. Nick Bunkley joins us now from Detroit. He writes about the auto industry for our partners, the New York Times. Hey, Nick, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Let's start with Chrysler. They're facing a deadline next week to meet the demands of the Obama administration. Those plans included merging with Fiat, the Italian carmaker. What are their chances of making it?
Well, they have basically 7 days from today to get this deal done. And I think there will be a deal at some point here announced. We'll just have to see if it's enough, if it meets what the administration is looking for.
And what happens if it doesn't?
Well, then, as Chrysler said in February, essentially, if they don't get more money, they would go into bankruptcy. And they said for them, bankruptcy would mean selling off the company and winding it down.
They're in the middle of talks with United Auto Workers. Talk about how that is having an effect.
Well, that's a big piece of this because the union needs to agree to these changes that will allow Chrysler to be viable in the future. And, they've held out as long as they can here because the union feels like they've been sort of the one that's had to make all the sacrifices, and they're going to have to make more, but they certainly didn't want to go any sooner than they needed to. And with 7 days left, I think they're just about ready to finally have to make the sacrifices that they need to because, certainly if Chrysler goes into bankruptcy, they have a lot to lose here.
But, Nick, before we shift to GM, I know Catherine has a question about GM. Just before we leave Chrysler, I'm doing the numbers here. I mean, they're selling the company off as it is. I mean, the latest offer basically handed 40% equity to these bondholders in return for some low cash kind of settlement. They're already in bankruptcy, it seems to me.
Well, they basically almost are, yes. And the value of the company has just continued to go down and down from the 36 billion or so that Daimler paid for it a decade ago to basically Daimler giving it away to Cerberus a year and a half ago. And I'm also reminded, thinking of that, about how it was only 18 months ago that Chrysler was celebrating its return to American ownership and talking about how great the next 100 years of the company were going to be, and here they're possibly a week away from liquidation.
From 100 years to 7 days. Now, we also have reports from the AP. He's right. John's right. I want to talk about GM for a minute. We have reports from AP, the Detroit Free Press, and others that GM wants to shut down almost all of their U.S. factories for 9 weeks. But there's some confusion as to whether this is a rumor, this is an announcement. So what are you hearing there in Detroit?
Well, I certainly wouldn't be surprised with any kind of a prolonged shutdown at GM. I mean, they've been shutting down their plants from time to time here over the last several years, and especially this year. They were down for a lot of the first quarter. Basically, at this point, they can't cut production too much. They just have a lot of inventory out there, and the more they cut, the less the dealers have to deal with, the less the dealers have to discount their vehicles. And right now also, GM really needs to show the administration that it is doing everything it possibly can to make itself viable for the future here.
Well, I was wondering, whose idea was this? I mean, didn't GM just meet earlier this week with members of the Obama administration? Do you think they were nudged toward this move?
Well, there may be some of that going on. I would just notice that, I mean, in the past, usually plant idlings like this would be done just kind of one by one, and the workers there would be told of their schedule. But at this point, everything they do, they need to announce and make very public because they want people to see that they're doing what they can. And I think that fits into that category here.
What would the ripple effect be, though, if they had that prolonged shutdown?
Well, it means all the workers at these plants would be on unemployment for probably most of the summer.
It means, Nick, that a lot of night crawlers are going to die because they're going to be fishing all summer long there in Michigan.
Well, that's definitely true, and I'd say maybe it would give them time to head up north like they maybe used to and spend some money up there in areas that are hurting. But I don't know that they'd have the money to do that.
Hey, let's talk about that $1 billion bond payment that GM was supposed to pay by June 1st, and now they're saying they can't. What does that mean?
Well, that would be somewhat of a milestone that they would miss a payment like that because they certainly haven't done anything like that to this point. It's a little bit of a technicality just in that they're saying they wouldn't be paying it because either they would be in the middle of their equity exchange here and would need to get that resolved, or by June 1st when it's due, they would be in bankruptcy because that's the deadline for the administration.
Well, it's also the definition of bankruptcy. You don't pay the bondholders. The bondholders say, we're calling it in. You're done.
Right.
It's not up to Geithner anymore. It's not up to Larry Summers. It's up to some bondholder.
Right, exactly.
So what does this mean? I guess I'm still left a little confused here. If they don't make the bond payment, if they're shutting down the factories, why do we talk about how they're edging toward bankruptcy in both or the conversation about Chrysler and GM? We're making it sound like they're both de facto bankruptcies.
That was Nick Bunkley for the New York Times talking about Detroit. I mean, I think, you know, the absence of Nick suggests what those factories are going to be like in General Motors when they if they do furlough them for 9 weeks. So we are talking today not only about the auto industry, but about the credit card balances of maybe some of those workers who are looking at their credit card bills and see how indebted they are. President Obama is taking on the credit card companies today. And that means that they're going to be looking at all the fees and all the changes in annual percentage rates, the credit lines that have been manipulated by credit card companies, and taking a look at if this is an opportunity possibly to push the credit card companies back. Well, you may want to do the very same thing. How do you fight back?
Hi, this is Michael from Brooklyn. My wife is a genius CFO of this family, and we never carry a balance on any of our credit cards, so the interest can go away.
So tell us your stories of how you might want the credit card companies to leave you alone or how you have actually been manipulated. And I use the word manipulated. Maybe that's a pejorative term. But the idea is that the credit card companies are doing things without asking you. And the question is, does the federal government have a role to play in actually regulating here? Tell us your stories at 877-8-MY-TAKE, or you can email us at thetakeaway.org. I think Nick Bunkley is back with us from Detroit. Nick, I have a question for you. Catherine Lamper is filling in for Adore Udoji, and we're on there in the Detroit market. And Catherine interned, actually, as a journalist in Michigan, right?
Yeah, at the Muskegon Chronicle and the Detroit Free Press.
But she calls, Nick, she calls the Detroit Free Press the Freep. Is that what people in Detroit call it?
Yes, we do. And at this point, we're just still glad to be able to call it anything right now.
Isn't that the truth? Or to even see it surface how many days a week?
Yes, it only shows up in my driveway a couple of days now.
Well, finally, what's the takeaway on both of these stories, Chrysler and GM, for people going forward? I mean, is this nine-week thing actually going to happen? Do we think Chrysler is going to make this 7 days? What's the indicator that we should really pay attention to over the next 7 days?
Well, when it comes to paying attention to these announcements from either company, I mean, really, everything's up for grabs right now. So, anything is possible as far as if they say they're going to shut down their plants, we have to see if they're even in operation anything close to what they are right now. And for Chrysler, with a week to go, there's certainly going to be a lot of activity here in this the next couple of days here, and we'll just have to see exactly how much the union is able to give there, and how much the bondholders are able to get a deal here and decide
right.
that they are willing to make a deal rather than let the company go into bankruptcy.
Down to the wire in Detroit. Thanks, Nick. Nick Bunkley is a reporter for the auto industry in Detroit for our partners, the New York Times. Man, that is rough.
Sounds pretty rough. You didn't believe in Detroit? We'll be right back.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.